It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Joshua chapter 23, we're going to begin the study at verse 14 today, Joshua 23, 14. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope now that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And we're going to read the rest of the verses of Scripture in the 23rd chapter and beginning on into the 24th chapter today. And so please that you will look with me as we enjoy this precious study. Joshua chapter 23, beginning to read with verse 14. "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you." Now we're going to end with the reading there, and we're going to begin with prayer and just enjoy this wonderful study today. Glad that you've joined us. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come today and enjoy this time. Please that you'll show us your way and will and just touch our hearts today with your precious word. It's so important, dear Lord, that we understand your word, that we study your word, that we fellowship with you. Please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us each and every day. Please, we need your leadership. We need your salvation. I ask that no one that's listening to this program has ignored the need to come to the cross of Calvary where you died, your Son, Jesus, died for us. Please, dear Father, send your Holy Spirit that he will convict the hearts of all that are listening today and take care of whatever need that there is. Father, I just thank you for this study. I have really enjoyed the book of Joshua. Help us to continue the study now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua had enjoyed coming back and giving some instruction, more of a reminder or a survey of what had happened through all the years. And I'm going to just start here with the fifth verse and then come down to verse 11. In the 23rd chapter, there's just too much there that we just love, and especially 7, 6, 7, 8, 10, and 11. And so let me begin with the fifth verse. "And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day." And now if we come down to verse 10, "One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God He it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed thereof unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. And again, this is the before the study that we've had yesterday, or the last time we were together. And I just need you to never forget that when we are on the Lord's side, when we serve Him and praise Him and follow Him, He will fight for us. He'll defend us, He'll protect us, He'll love us, He'll keep us. Please, don't forget that. Don't ever forget that. That's a beautiful part of the Scripture, one of the most beautiful, other than our Lord dying on the cross for us. The love that He had shown us is so great. What a wonderful day it is to be a believer in Jesus Christ, to be a true Christian. And the reason I make that clarity is because everyone today calls themselves Christians. But my friend, unless you can look back to the day, remember the day that you asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to save you, to forgive you of your sins, and give you life. If you can't remember that day, I have to go back all the way to 1975, but I can take you halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house where I met Jesus. I've never forgotten that day. I have forgotten an awful lot of things, but I've never forgot the day that I come to know the Lord Jesus and became a Christian. If you can't remember that day, now again, I can tell you the year. I can tell you where the exact date and time. I can't. It was evening. I remember that. But I made the mistake of not writing it down so that I could hold that time. But that experience of asking Jesus to come into my heart and the Holy Spirit coming in, that has never, ever left me, and it never will. So if you can't, and that when I say personally, know Him personally, it's because I personally ask Him into my heart. No one could do it for me. No one can do it for you. But you can do it. So please call upon Him today so that you can stand with God and watch God fend off the enemies. Watch God give you wisdom and knowledge that surpasses all this world. You want to know what's wrong with this world today? They've denied God. They have turned Him away. They've chosen, decided they didn't need Him. Well, that's the reason we're in the mess we're in. It's because of so many ungodly leaders. We need to bring our God, the true God, Jehovah, back into this country and this world if we expect to be saved from going into communism, whatever level we may have. And it's a sad, sad day. And it all stems back for many years now as this country of ours has denied the true God, denied His existence, denied His purpose, denied His salvation, his ability to save, the salvation that He offers to us. They denied it all. And there's going to be a day of judgment for that as a country. The folks have just taken the land. They have just gotten settled in. They've just sent the 2.5 tribes back to the other side of the Jordan River to go home themselves. And Joshua now comes to them and reminds them of all these great things that God has done for them. But just please, and I love that verse of Scripture, verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you, as He hath promised. We have those words. I should have underlined them. I should have counted them. In verse 5, God hath promised. And we come down here, and we just read it there in the 10th verse. He has promised. And any time that God makes a promise, He'll keep it. Now, there may be something attached to that promise. You serve Me, and I will keep you safe. Or you come by faith to Me, and I'll save you. You see, one has something to do with what I do. The other has nothing to do with what I do. Salvation is free. Salvation is a work that Christ does for you and me. and we need to see that each day we walk with the Lord Jesus in service to Him, praising Him and honoring Him. And so please understand that and see that. So after looking at the wonderful side of what our Lord has done for the nation of Israel, and now we need to continue and realize that there are two sides. Joshua tells them here how powerful God is, what He'll do. Take heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. And there's a reason for that words take heed, because if they decide to start serving and praising and bowing down to other gods, which this area is full of gods, we can go back all the way, and in the 24th chapter, when we get there in just a little bit, we're going to recognize that not only did the people in Egypt show the Israelites different gods, the land of Canaan, the first time that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was there, served gods of that land. There were many gods there. Abraham came from Ur of Chaldees, which was an idol-worshipping land. His father, his brother, all were idol worshippers. And so this is all, when Abraham, and again, I don't want to get too far because we're going to look at that in just a little while when we get to chapter 24, but they all started here to look. We think that there was no other gods around. They were everywhere. And that's the reason that the heed, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Set your eyes upon the Lord Jesus, and don't take them off. Don't turn to another god in any way. Else if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, this is verse 12 of chapter 23, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriage with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges to your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come unto you, which the Lord your God hath promised you, so shall the Lord bring unto you all evil things, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. Now, I wanted you to see this, because this promise that God is making concerning the health, wealth, position of the possession of the land, production of this land, all these things, they hinge on Israel, the people of God, Israel serving the Lord. If they decide to serve some of the gods that remain there, God will withdraw that. God will take that away. And I mean take it away. I will destroy you. God is a jealous God, and he wants us to serve him and praise him and honor him. We choose not to, the consequences come. And with the people here, even though we can look at the 10th verse and it says, one man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised. He promised that as they would go forth and there was still many in the land to clean up. There was a remaining tribes of almost every people that was in the land of Canaan. They left a few here and a few there. And every time they left some, they stayed and remained there serving their gods and loving their gods and all those things. And so you see, as we look at that, as we see that, we need to understand that that's a sad, sad day when they didn't listen to God originally and clean the land out. Now, God would tell them from time to time that they needed to go in and destroy a whole city. Other times, he said, you can go in and you need to destroy the people. And in the light of that, many times leaving their vineyards and their livestock and their barns and their houses and all those things, inside those barns, houses, and up in the groves, they would find statues and gods. And instead of destroying them immediately, it seems as though that they not only left some of the people, but they also left many of these idols. Well, it wasn't long, and history tells us, the Word of God's history, the truth, tells us that that's exactly what happened. It wasn't long they began to serve those gods. But God warns them. He warns them, if you do not follow me, I will destroy you. I'll take you out of this land. And they were scattered from the year 70 to the year 1948. The nation of Israel had no homeland. They were scattered throughout the whole world and still are. But in 1948, God again fulfilled his promise, not because of their faithfulness, not because of Israel and the Jews' goodness and service and praise unto God, because they still reject the Savior, the Lord Jesus. But God promised, and God has brought them back. He has given a portion of their land back, and they will continue, and there'll be a time when they'll have their land back, no matter what government says, whether it's ours or someone else's, because God's the only one that owns that land. He's the only one that can give it. He gave it to them, and it's rightfully theirs, and there will be a time when they'll receive it back. But God, his word is true. God said, I promise to give it to you. I promise to run all these out as long as you stay with me. And he also said, if you don't, then I'll stop driving these enemies off. I'll stop doing that. I will also stop with giving you this land, and I'll do more than that. I will destroy you and run you off of this land. And he did just that, because they weren't faithful. This promise came with obedience. We needed to be obedient to get this promise. Now, when it comes to salvation, salvation is free. And so it doesn't matter what I do, what I say, where I go. My salvation is secure in the Lord because he keeps me. Now, you say, oh, how could that be? How could the Lord Jesus die on the cross and take your sins away, sins you had never even committed? Well, you best look back, because he died over 2,000 years ago upon the cross. He died for the sins that I committed prior to trusting in him, and he also died for the sins that I will commit. He loves me. He died for me. And I come to him by faith, and he keeps me. That promise is a promise that has nothing to do with me other than coming by faith, calling upon him. That's the end of it. Everything else is his doing. He saves me, he cleanses me, he makes me whole, and he keeps me all through eternity. That's what my God does for me. I hope that you study the Word of God and know the Word of God to be true, and walk each day trusting in the Lord Jesus. I hope that you're not trusting in some religion, because many times religion has man's philosophies and their ideas and principles that are not of God. And I hope today that you follow the truth, the Word of God, because that's the only thing, my friend, that is going to keep you and bring you the joy that's coming. Now, so we see both sides here. We see Joshua telling the people how great God is and all the wonderful things God has done. And then also, then he tells them the other side. This is what's going to happen if you don't follow him, if you decide to serve some of the gods of the land. And then we come to Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to begin with the first verse. We're not going to quite probably get done today. We'll finish it up next time. We'll be done with Joshua and then go on to another wonderful study. But as we begin now, Joshua chapter 24, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for the heads and for the judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said unto all the people, now we're going to get a history lesson here, so just listen up. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Now, when it says other side of the flood, if you look that up, it means the other side of the river. And that would be over at Ur of Chaldees or around the Euphrates River and around the Euphrates and Tigris rivers. And that's where they came from. And you'll find that's where Nimrod was at, if you remember him back in the studies. And that's where the Tower of Babel was at. And so we find a lot of evil around this area where Abraham was from. And he says, your father dwelt on the other side. And, of course, that means Abraham. And then he even goes back another generation behind that. Abraham's, your father's father, Terah. He was on the other side. They served and worshiped other gods. You see, there's no question about it. This wasn't just a small remnant in the area that was godly, and God says, get out of there, come over to the land of Canaan, I'll give you a promise. Abraham was on the other side. Abraham and his brother and his father all served the gods of that land. But God called him out. Now let's look here at this third verse. And I took your father Abraham. This is God speaking. You remember here? Let's look up here. They presented themselves before God, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And so this is God speaking. This is not Joshua speaking. I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. I led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and I multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Now, if you'll remember, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born. Not only is the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior a miracle, but so was this. What a miracle was performed. God promised a child. And even though it had went on for so long and way past their childbearing years, and they'd tried a couple other ways to fulfill this promise God had made, but God says, no, I will take care of it. And he did. He gave them Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Now see, there was a famine in the land. And I hope that you remember these times, because when Abraham was in the land, he too went a couple of times down into Egypt. Down into the land of Egypt and then come back to the promised land. But there was a famine that was worldwide. I mean, it was a famine that all the known world, there was no food. But what had happened through a terrible thing that the sons of Jacob did unto Joseph, Joseph being the brother, there was 12 of them. And they took Joseph and they sold him literally down into slavery into Egypt. Well, they thought Joseph was dead. And when the famine arrived, then Jacob and his sons and their families, or 70 souls, says, went down into the land of Egypt. Prior to going down there, they had went down and got some food. They had no idea that the one in charge, right under Pharaoh, was none other than their brother Joseph. Now, Joseph knew them, but they didn't know Joseph. They thought he was some slave someplace or other, or dead, and they didn't really care. But what God had done, God had taken Joseph down there through this terrible time of what his brothers had done for him, and Joseph had stayed faithful unto God. And so Joseph was lifted up into a real high position under Pharaoh in Egypt. And there was a famine coming, and Joseph, by the leadership of God, did something so wonderful. He began to store up grain. And he stored up grain, and he stored up grain, and he stored up grain. And then when the famine came, all the world came to Egypt. Egypt was saved, and all the world, because of Joseph and his obedience unto God. And so as we look at all this, then the famine got so bad that the rest of the family, of Jacob's family, they had to come down and get food. So they'd come down and get food. Well, when it was all said and done, Joseph, all the family, came down into Egypt. And from the time that Abraham was there the first time until they left was 400 years. And so we find here that during this time, they went from being very comfortable and everything being very well, they went from there to being slaves. And I mean the most brutal slaves. And they became so powerful. The scripture tells us that the Pharaoh that knew Joseph was gone. No one remembered anymore the great work that Joseph was dead. The Pharaoh was dead, and time had passed, and all was forgotten of the great things that the God of Joseph had done for the land of Egypt. And so they continued to multiply. And the more they persecuted them, the more they condemned them, the more they grew. The bigger they got in numbers, and they continued. And so they were afraid of them, and so they took them and put them into slavery. We'll take care of them. Well, again, they couldn't kill them. They just kept growing and growing and growing. And there had come about this mighty nation of somewhere between 1.5 million up to possibly 3 million people. In that short period of time had grown from 70 souls to that number. And now we find Moses. And I sent Moses also and Aaron. I'm in the 5th verse. And I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterwards I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And ye came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. Now, I hope that you were with us when we studied all that back in Exodus. It was a wonderful study. We sure enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But we see here that God is saying, I did this. I did this. I did that. If you would look very quickly, you'll find 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 eyes down through the 13th verse. God is telling them, and there is one there that refers to He has done this, which is still the Lord. And so we have all those witnesses of what God has done for these people. And so Joshua is trying, and we're going to have to end there and begin there next time. But Joshua is trying to show the nation of Israel how great, how powerful God is, and show them they would not be where they are if it had not been through or for the Lord God. And I hope that you know the same thing I do. I would not be where I am today if it had not be for my Lord. And I praise Him. I honor Him. I lift Him up. Please, please. Follow after the Lord God today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?